Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kian. Today, we'll discuss the article by Holwerda et al. Titled, Carotid Baroreflex Responsiveness is Impaired in Normotensive African American Men. This article published in our October 2011 issue. My guests today are Associate Editor Irving Zucker, Senior Author David Keller, and Leading Expert Peter Raven. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. I think most of us know that human beings are very genetically diverse, and as such, the propensity to develop various diseases varies among racial differences in the human population. This is an interesting study that looked into the possibility of the baroreflex contributing to the development of hypertension. David, I think we'll start off with getting sort of a summary and an explanation of the rationale behind this study from you.
Sure. Thank you very much. African Americans are predisposed to developing hypertension. And not only that, they develop deadlier forms earlier in life than relative to other racial populations in this country in particular. Not to mention that, there's also been a number of studies that have demonstrated that African Americans exhibit exaggerated pressor responses to different stimuli, such as dynamic exercise, static exercise, cold pressor testing, and a few other laboratory stimuli, and relative to other racial populations, in particular Caucasian Americans. And so kind of the premise of this work was to test the hypothesis that there's some impairment or differential dynamic control of blood pressure through the arterial baroreflex, which really is set to be a primary buffer of blood pressure at rest and during exercise.
Thanks, David. Can you just say a couple of words about the techniques that you utilized in this study, and then maybe briefly summarize the main finding?
We used for the primary technique, the neck chamber technique, where we used 5-second trials of neck pressure and neck suction for simulated hypotension and simulated arterial hypertension, respectively. We also used kind of a host of standard techniques to measure, non-invasive techniques to measure arterial blood pressure, heart rate, et cetera. And we developed both the traditional function curves used to express arterial baroreflex control of pressure and heart rate. And we also used a separate analysis of the hypotensive and hypertensive stimuli separately in combination with the traditional curves. And the primary findings were that at rest, African Americans exhibit impaired or blunted heart rate responses to simulated hypertension, as well as some blunted, albeit much to a much smaller extent physiologically, blunted blood pressure responses to simulated hypotension.
Peter, could you perhaps comment on what the broader implications of this finding is, especially the inability of the African-American population to reduce heart rate in response to hypertensive stimuli?
Yes, the heart rate we identify as being respective of the changes that will occur with the cardiac output, and the fact that they have a blunted ability to reduce cardiac output to a hypertension stimulus is sort of indicative of the physiology of what's going on with their responses. And a part of that may be related to the genetic makeup of the individuals. And it's interesting at this point in time that the native African black does not necessarily have a difference in their blood pressure response. In fact, they're usually hypotensive in terms of just normal blood pressure. So we start to wonder the idea of the Western diet and then the SALT gene, which is linked to some of the work that John Eisenach's doing up at the Mayo, where they're identifying Gli-Gli versus Arg-Arg polymorphisms as being sensitive to producing these blood pressure changes.
Thank you, Peter. This raises the question of whether there is differential vagal control of heart rate in blacks versus Caucasians.
There's been some data by Zion et al. And AJP, Hart and Cirque, a while back that looked at some compliance in African Americans relative to Caucasian Americans. In addition, they did some power spectral analysis of heart rate and identified a altered sympathovagal balance. And in that study, they reported that the African-American men did have what appeared to be reduced vagal outflow relative to the Caucasian group.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that the responses to neck suction were primarily mediated by changes in heart rate, and you didn't see a whole lot of differences in the blood pressure response. How does this fit with some earlier data in which muscle sympathetic nerve activity was recorded and exhibited differences in blacks versus whites?
In relation to previous work with showing control, baroreflex control of muscle sympathetic nerve activity in African Americans, some work by Chet Ray's group a while back demonstrated that in response to lower body negative pressure, the total sympathetic nerve activity response to graded LBNP was impaired in the African American group compared to Caucasians, and that was in both men and women. And what it suggests in relation to our data is that there is very likely an even greater impairment in baroreflex control of the nerve for the African-American group to exhibit even smaller blood pressure responses to the simulated hypotension, which is documented to activate muscle sympathetic nerve activity.
So there are very broad implications of this study. Peter, could you comment on perhaps in terms of the general overregulation of sympathetic vagal outflow and blood pressure? There have been identified several polymorphisms that are associated with the renin-angiotensin system and with nitric oxide production in blacks. How might this influence the responses that David has seen in his subjects?
Right now, the main body of evidence that I'm following is coming out of the Mayo Clinic, and basically these polymorphisms are whether you've got a Gly-Gly gene or an Arg-Arg gene and then an Arg-Gly gene. And it appears that it's the Gly-Gly of the African-American that seems to be the one that gives them an abbreviated response to a vasodilatory stimulus.
If there are abnormalities in the way blacks make nitric oxide or produce angiotensin in the central nervous system, that could certainly predispose to abnormalities in both baroreflex function and resting sympathetic and sympathovagal balance. There is a wealth of studies showing now that angiotensin and nitric oxide can influence central neurons that regulate sympathetic outflow. So I think that's always something going forward to keep in mind as a contributing factor to these negative feedback buffer reflexes that David has studied.
I think you're absolutely right, Irv, and I think, of course, your own data and Fidel's data is going down that line, I believe. But the difficulty we're facing is this whole concept of the blood-brain barrier, and I'm pointing the difficulty of doing human subject research, that there's still this category of information out there that says nothing crosses the blood-brain barrier. And I don't believe that is the true interpretation of some of the more dynamic data that we're starting to generate now.
I think another element that complicates this picture, especially as we move kind of away from rest into situations of kind of cardiovascular challenge, such as exercise or gravitational challenge, is that, and in particular exercise, is that some of these same substances, Ang2, which are clearly important centrally in modulating baroreflex control or function, is that there's also this peripheral effect and this other kind of part of the arc peripherally that at the end organ, the smooth muscle, that there's modulation there both on the adrenergic side and also Ang2 seems to be modulated peripherally in terms of its responsiveness during exercise.
This current study really showed that there are differences in the short-term regulation of heart rate, perhaps of blood pressure, that may translate into significant differences in autonomic outflow between blacks and African Americans. And of course, this has great potential for predisposition to hypertension and other cardiovascular diseases. Kara?
And to our readers, thanks for listening to the AJP Heart and Circ podcast series.